perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. Pierce, he loves it. They've got the chocolates and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
It is the Monday Waffle Podcast and we have Vaneen Palm and Matthew Fasalis on the show today. Vaneen, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I was a bit stressed, had a lot to do, but it ended well because, you know, I had a 21st. And as I recall, you were there, Matt.
Yes, it was a great 21st. And it was a great weekend for footy. A few tightly fought contests. We had West Perth Falcons to begin with take on the East Fremantle Sharks.
How did that game go?
Well, it was, as I said, pretty close. Falcons ended up winning by 16 points overall. And they had a couple of standouts in Trent Manzoni and Aaron Black, who, you know, Aaron Black always is up and about. East Freo had some reasonably talented players too. Stranadika played well. Jupp and Milan Murdoch all had great games.
And at David Gray's Arena, East Perth were put to the sword by Peel Thunder.
Yes, that was an absolute thrashing. East Perth, the side that's struggling to find form this year, they lost to Peel Thunder by 77 points. And Connor Blakely's back, you know, he's in form. 31 disposals and a goal. Jackson Ramsey somewhat mirrored that with 33 disposals for East Perth and a goal. But Connor Blakely, you'd think he'd be getting that Fremantle AFL call-up shortly now.
77 points. I mean, I haven't been watching footy for long, but that sounds like a huge loss, Matt.
It is, Vaneen. It's safe to say that East Perth will be probably having a pretty intense training run this week.
And how are they doing on the ladder at the moment?
Not too flash. I believe they are in either last or second last place. East Freo might be below them.
Moving on to Mineral Resources Park, we had Perth and the Tigers.
That was actually a pretty close one. Perth was, you could argue, lucky to get away with that. They had 8 goals, 9 behinds for 57 points, winning by 14 points overall against the Tigers. But the Tigers were pretty inaccurate with 5 goals and 13 behinds. So they pretty much kicked themselves out of the game. Sinkers had a solid game. Christian Ayres continues his fine form with 30 hitouts and 15 disposals. And we actually got a chance to catch up with Christian.
Yeah, we did, Matt. And we asked him what he thought of the game.
Christian, you and a lot of the other boys have seemed to shift up a gear this year. What has prompted this sort of continual improvement?
I think just last couple of 2 to 3 years kept most of the squad together and started to gel a little bit more as a group. Get to know your teammates better, play harder for each other and understand each other's game styles and strengths and weaknesses better. And just getting more confidence in each other. So, we've got a pretty strong back six now that are playing some really good footy. Like the likes of Jared Bell coming back from, 2 knee recons, back to the best footy that we've seen him play since, back in 2015, 16, before he did his knees. Mitch Lague as well, injury ridden all last year. Michael Sinclair, there's plenty of blokes that are really stepping up and the back line's holding together really well. Jibber down back, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, keeping the core together is something Earl stressed as well. So, yeah, you can definitely see the fruits of doing that. It's safe to say Claremont's a pretty quality side this year. And although it's early days, it is looking like they will probably be playing finals. Where was your head at going into a match that had all the makings for a fairly tightly fought contest?
Yeah, look, it was a similar game last year. There's a bit of pressure on us playing Claremont the week after a bye that was potentially a spot to make finals. We ended up losing by 60-odd points. So there's a bit of that in the back of our head that we didn't want that to happen again. We knew we were a better side this year and prepared over the pre-season injury-wise. So we went into that game with the confidence that it was going to be a pretty tight, tough game. Normally are against Claremont early on in the season. I think we had 18 inside 50s conceded to our 4 in the first quarter. So we're lucky to kind of be ahead. Some wayward clicking by Claremont. Unfortunately, a couple of injuries left them 2 down on the bench for the second half. So they all fought out pretty tough. So we're pretty lucky to get away with the win on the weekend.
Okay, looking forward to next week, you've got West Perth, a team that you haven't beaten in the last couple of years. which West Perth players' impact are you going to try and limit going into that match?
That's a good question. We haven't really sat down and had a bit of a chat about that. You've got your Nelsons and your Blacks that always tend to link up pretty well. Tyler Patel's always good down forward against us. So that'd probably be the three main, I'd assume. But they're a quality bunch, and they're on a rebuild as well with the new coach down there. So how they've changed and improved and with our new structures, it's hard to say. So we've got the week off with the state bye this weekend, and I'm sure Jude will have some focuses for us moving forward.
And we also spoke to Cody Leggett.
Obviously, on Saturday, good to get a win over Claremont, who look like serious contenders for finals this year. You found a fair bit of the footy on Saturday with 20 disposals, 11 kicks. How did you rate the boys' performance overall?
As you probably said, yeah, Claremont are definitely going to be up there this year. And we probably didn't play our best footy throughout the day. But I guess we sort of grounded out, and we had some boys that probably didn't play their best game that have probably stood up for us this year. Like Brant College is probably one. He probably had his quieter game. But we had people like Corey Byrne and Yoey stand up sort of in his place.
That's now five on the trot. Is it too early to start talking finals?
I wouldn't say it's too early to start talking finals. I think we have ambitions of going higher than just finals. We want to get as high as we possibly can. So we're just taking it week by week. So we've got West Perth after the state game. And we're just taking it week by week, trying to win as many games as we can towards the end of the year.
Now, Cody, so you attracted a fair bit of media coverage last year when you roosted that 90-metre torpy. Did you enjoy the spotlight? Talk us a bit through that.
It was. It got a lot of media attention. To be honest, I didn't really think much of it early days. It sort of exploded. I'm a bit of a private person, but, it was good. I guess for my sort of footy career, it was good to sort of get out there and people sort of to know your name. It's probably, probably what I got out of it most, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. A bit of media attention can never be a bad one. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And finally, we've asked a few of the Perth boys this, but which teammates has the most annoying or disgusting habit?
Probably Yoey. you can't have a conversation with him without him talking about himself. That's probably the hardest thing. And he's pretty messy too, so he's probably the one there.
Do you know what? We spoke to Ayrsy a bit earlier today, and he said Yoey too.
Yeah, no, he's no good.
He's got a bit of a rep.
he's a good skipper, but the bloke's no good, yeah.
Matt, what about at Steel Blue Oval, where Subiaco defeated the Swan Districts by 18 points?
Yeah, it was a fairly close contest, and it basically saw the Lions fight back in the fourth to kick 5-6 to the Swan District's 2 points. So, I'm not sure what happened for the Swan Districts in that last quarter, but, yeah, things just sort of fell apart for them. Horsley and Sokol, once again, both had solid games for Subiaco, while the new Swan District's recruit, George Hampson, who was on the show last week, continued to perform.
And at Fremantle Community Bank Oval, Matt, we saw South Frio dominate the Eagles.
Yes, and we have our on-field reporter and part-time presenter, Grady Wolf, giving us the scoop on that one.
It was a great game to be at. Unfortunately, the Eagles got absolutely dominated by South Frio this time. The Eagles were actually trying a new live stream of their game. It's a new thing that they're doing online by the producers who produced the Waffle for Channel 7. And they're now doing it for online. So it's the first time this has ever been done. The Eagles are obviously taking their football to the next level. So this new broadcast was on Facebook and it got quite a few views, actually. And Tim Gossage was commentating and so was their Eagles man, Stevie. So that was a great game to be at. Mason Shaw dominated for South Frio. He scored 6 goals by himself. So he absolutely dominated the forward line. Brendan Archie from the Eagles, one of the best marks I have ever seen. They're calling it the Archie Airlines because he was on the shoulders of Fraser McInnes, his own captain, who then fell to the ground, but he got the mark and took it down to the other end for the Eagles. And I think they scored off that one. So that was pretty good. The Eagles did go down by quite a lot, but they did come back in the third quarter and they looked pretty promising. But South then kicked into action and they dominated in the end to finish them by 131 to South Frio and 72 to the Eagles. The usuals of Hayden Sloyth and Brock Higgins had a great game. Brock Higgins is a massive unit, might I say. He honestly is a massive, massive unit out there. And he does dominate in the centre, and they had their great game. So Mason Shaw was obviously the best on for me, but Brendan Archie did dominate for the Eagles.
He got 32 disposals, didn't he, Archie?
Yes, Archie did very well. Hopefully he'll be knocking on the Eagles' door soon, but I was in the Eagles' AFL door, but he does fit in pretty well in that team.
Sounds like an impressive game to be at. Thanks for that, Grady.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, it's everyone's favourite part of the Monday Waffle podcast, the Monday Rumble. And Vaneen, what is today's topic?
So we are chatting about whether beer should be mid-strength or full strength at the Waffle.
And currently it is full strength, at least as far as I know. I went to Leaderville Oval the other day and they were serving full strength pints of 4 pints. It was magnificent. I didn't even know this until I went there.
But honestly, Matt, to be honest, I feel like that is most of the reason why we're seeing a lot of crowd violence and stuff like that. So I 100% think it should be changed.
But do you think, Vaneen, that by making the beer mid-strength, it is going to change that element? Because I would argue if people want to get drunk, they're going to get drunk, whether it takes 5 beers or 10 beers.
No, but look, just this weekend, we had a Hawks supporter with a disability punched by a Melbourne supporter. And then we had that violence earlier this year from Richmond supporters as well. And I 100% think that that's the reason, because we haven't heard much about West Coast and Dockers supporters being feral. Why? Because they only serve mid-strength beer at the stadium.
That's a good point. I guess the one thing I'd put there is corporate suites. They've got that full strength, and that's I guess where, you know, I start to get annoyed, because I think the reason they've made it mid strength at the Optus Stadium is because they want to make more money. They know people will need to buy more beers if that's what they're after.
Look, I get that, you know, everyone's had a tough week at work. They just want to go to the game, relax, let loose. And I understand that. But especially, you know, here in WA, we have a lot of very passionate footy supporters. And passionate combined with a bit too much alcohol can get a bit over the top.
Well, we'll have to just agree to disagree, because I think it's just a couple of bad eggs spoiling the fun for the rest of us. As per usual, we have our future game analyst and part-time host, Andrew Murdoch.
G'day, Matt and Vaneen. Very good to be here and on your show.
And it's very good to have you, Andrew. What's happening in the coming weeks?
Okay, so no Waffle games this weekend, because instead we've got the state game against the Sandful. That's happening at Optus Stadium as a precursor to the Fremantle-Richmond game on Saturday the 12th. It starts at 12 p.m, so if you want to head along, make sure you get there for the start. Pretty interesting to have a look at the state side as well. Lots of players from Subiaco and Claremont represented, but also a few that, you know, might be missing out from other squads. East Perth have only got one player, for instance.
Only one player?
That's right. Jackson Ramsey's the only one from then.
Tell me Rowan Kerr got a call up.
No, Rowan Kerr's not involved what at all, despite averaging 27 disposals and about 7 or 8 marks a game. So he might be one that was unlucky to not be seen, but maybe that's because he's in stellar form this season, and maybe it's a big improver. So next year he might get a gig.
Yeah, we'll have to. That'll be a bit of a watch this space. So you're telling me that essentially you get 2 games for the price of 1 this week?
Look, Matt, unfortunately, I don't know how the tickets work. I think maybe you just pay to enter the ground for the state game, or maybe it's free to enter for the state game, and then whether or not you've got a ticket to their Frio Richmond game after that, I'm not sure. Maybe you can find a spot to just stay in there and hide. That's what I might do.
Sounds like a plan.
But moving on to the fixtures for the following week. So no games this week, but then we have a Thursday night fixture on Thursday, May 16. That's Royals against Eagles. So that'll be a hotly contested. A lot of people probably maybe playing their old teammates and things like that. Royals will be looking to get their second win, while Eagles will be looking to get their third.
And it's Thursday night footy.
I know.
What's not to love?
Absolutely nothing. And then all the rest of the games, we move on to Saturday. So Claremont playing Peel at Claremont Oval. Both teams are 3-2 at this stage, so that'll be hotly contested as well. The red hot Perth Demons, who are undefeated, and just my absolute, like, I'm just gunning for gold for the Perth Demons this year, which I've said before. They're playing West Perth. West Perth will be looking to get just their second win of the season, so they'll hopefully bounce back. Perth will be looking to obviously continue their dominant form. Subi versus South Freo, Matt. So South Freo started just a little bit shaky with a 3-point loss or something like that. But since then, they've had 4 wins on the trot. And Subi, as we know, are just that dominant that they have been. They still haven't lost since the 2017 grand final. It was the last time they lost. So Subi, South Fremantle. I reckon South Fremantle might have what it takes, because we saw Subi nearly get beaten by Swan Districts, or at least were Swan Districts were really competitive against them. So I reckon South Fremantle, I reckon they're just about due for a loss.
Due for a loss, South Fremantle?
No, Subi. And I think South Fremantle might be the ones who might be able to hand it to them.
I'm sure that'll happen if Hayden Schloif has anything to do with it.
And the last game is Swan Districts versus the East Fremantle Sharks. East Freo still yet to record a win this season. Swan Districts only on 1. So they'll both be really keen to get a win. And that's on. They're all the other games are Saturday at just past 2, while the Thursday night game's at 7 p.m.
Fantastic. Thanks once again.
My pleasure.